breath.
Welcome to the ministry of Mercy Seat Ministries and evangelists Pat and Karen Schatzline. We believe that the message you are about to hear will mightily change your life. Open your heart, mind, and spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. We must declare it to the next generation.
In just a moment, I'm going to have Karen join me. But I told you, just to, you know, understand, God has been doing supernatural things in the school. We've saw so many lives touched in the past 2 days. How many of you appreciate Pastor Brian Dean and Josh? Thank you. And next time we come, we want Pastor Tiffany to pour into us as well, because she carries an incredible mantle. But in writing my book, this message that I want to share with you this morning was birthed. And maybe it's because I began to understand that we are predestined to greatness. Maybe I understand that Psalms 139 says he's written our life out, that it's what I say to Nate all the time. I hope God never has to tear a chapter out of my book. He writes this whole thing out because the Bible says our life has been written down. Malachi says he writes down the things when two brothers or two sisters come together and share the things of God. He steps in the middle of that conversation. I have such a fear of God having to tear out something that he had planned on me to do. It's what I always tell you, that when I get to heaven, I don't want to see two video screens, one that represents what I did. You did that, you preached that, you wrote that, but this is what you could have done if you only understood that your dreams come at the level of your obedience. God has all these massive plans. He is a God that literally has purposed out our lives. He gets excited about what he's planning for us. If the steps are ordered, as Pastor Brian taught on yesterday, if we're going somewhere, if we have all this stuff, then God is sitting up there. But he doesn't, you know, there's treasures in darkness. So there's times when if you ever go on a journey, you got to drive at night and during the day. You don't just get there by day. You have to. That's why with the Israelites, he gave them fire by night, cloud by day. Because what you got to understand is God says, I will lead you through any situation, any storm, anything you're in. Because what did he say to the disciples? Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Now, in between the other side and the boat, in that moment, was a storm waiting on them. But God had already purposed in his heart. He's got plans for us. He's got dreams for us. He's laid all this stuff out. The biggest hindrance in my life is not people or anything else. The biggest hindrance is the guy I look in the mirror to every day. Because he stares me down and tells me whether or not I can accomplish anything that day. And if I listen to my flesh man, Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, I told a student this last week where I was at, he said, how do I overcome the flesh? I said, read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 over and over. That's what I told Nate a long time ago. Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It all deals with the flesh. Paul said in Romans 8 chapter, the things I want to do, or Romans the 7th chapter, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. I'm like a man beating the air, flailing my arms. But then in Romans 8, he would write, we are more than conquerors. Let's look at Romans 8 chapter. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm sharing this morning a simple teaching to our school called It Is On Purpose. Everybody in here has a story. It's our stories that create our purpose. So, kind of thinking like this. Can you imagine getting caught doing something? Now, I spent most of my life getting caught. I mean, literally, I just look guilty. If I do anything, I can't get away with it. And Nate is the same way. Abby is the same way. And Karen can catch us all at anything. Our face is a book. How many of you know 95% of communication is body? Not verbal. That's why in texting and email and even cell phone calls, you can't really see what a person is doing. You almost want to start saying on the phone, laugh out loud at the end of things. You know what I'm saying? Nate always jokes about you can say anything as long as you put LOL on the end of it. You know, that guy is uglier than mud. His mother must have beat his face by accident. Laugh out loud. Because it changes everything. You're like, God, why is he? Oh, laugh out loud. Okay. You know, I had an awesome weekend. That was the deadest church I've ever preached at. Laugh out loud. Here's the deal. Can you imagine getting caught? And again, I'm sharing, it is on purpose. Can you imagine getting caught doing something? I don't know, for me, like wrecking my parents' car when they were out of town. I was 14. Killing our cat in the dryer. Total accident. And he should have kept up. Having people suddenly show up at my house to have a party with alcohol, and my parents were out of town, but a board member stopped by our house to check on us. He walks in the back door. There's people doing stuff. A total accident. I didn't know it was going to happen. Can you imagine, though, when your parents confronted you about something that every time they ask you, oh, hey, why'd you do that? And you go, it was on purpose. No, our natural reaction is to make excuses. We say it was a total accident. I didn't see it coming. It wasn't my fault. That is our natural reaction on anything time we feel like we're pressed into a corner, about to get in trouble. It was a setup. That's a great one to use. I was set up, Mom and Dad. The government is trying to bring me down. But I would never look at my mom and dad and go, yeah, seriously, I know that I'm in trouble, but it was on purpose. But with God, that's exactly what He does. Everything we walk through, He says it was on purpose. What do you mean? Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Do you understand that God can bring it all together? I mean, a great example of that is David's life. I mean, David, you know, he killed the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites. First Samuel chapter 8 gives all of the descriptions of his victories. The Budlites, the Millerites, everyite possible, he knocked out, he killed. He had 20 years worth of victories, but then we see him morally fall. We see Samuel walk in and say, you have sinned against God, and what you have done in private, your children will embarrass you within public. And then we see, he says, the sword will not be removed. We see David make all these horrendous mistakes. He basically rapes Bathsheba, because we know she was a good woman, because Proverbs 31, Solomon described her. In fact, Samuel, or Solomon, set a throne next to his throne for Bathsheba. So she wasn't a dirty woman. She was just taking a bath, and she got orders from the king, and she had to come and give herself to that king. So what you got to realize is you look at David's life. He covered the murder of Uriah of the Corps of the Champions, is what his name means. One of his mighty men. We know in 1 Chronicles 10, it describes him as one of the mighty men. We know that David did all these things. At times, he was a wild man at the gates of the Philistines. He lost his mind, had a complete nervous breakdown. We know that there was other times where God said, don't count the soldiers. He did, and it caused a curse to fall upon him. We know that other times he was writing beautiful psalms. He did good, he did bad, he did ugly, he did great, he did all these things. And then yet, look what it says about David in Acts. Because God can bring it all together. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. You know why it says his body decayed? So that they could keep him from making him a god. But understand what I'm talking about. It says when he had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. So, in other words, God took the good, the bad, the ugly, the great, the nasty, the incredible, the awesome, the slaying of the giant, all those different things, put it all together and said he served his purpose. Because what God does is, and I'm trying to just do a little teaching today on it's on purpose, helping you understand that what you have walked through, God knew it. How does God bring it all together? It doesn't say that all things work for good. It doesn't say that. It says in all things, He brings it together for the good. So what you got to understand is a death or a murder or a rape, He doesn't say those things are good. He says, but if you'll give me a chance to put it all together, there's a reason for it. There's a reason why your parents got a divorce. So in other words, God never gets caught off guard. Whatever troubles or afflictions or persecutions, God processes them into their service, and they make a part of the general working. In other words, it's a fabric. God knits that and that and that and that and that, and He brings it all together to have a blanket of His love. You're not getting this yet, but I'm trying to show you what you've been through. Quit despising it and say, thank you, Lord, because it gets tied into my purpose. It gives me a testimony, an outward proclamation of an inward transformation. Until I walk through these things, had I not walked through that, that, I would not be able to touch that. Had I not gone through that, I would not be effective in this area. Everything in the plan that God has put together, the predestination, the plan, the purpose of our calling, he says, I let you go through that because down here it's going to make sense. If you'd have told me the morning of August 12th, when I lost my sister, 2007, if you'd have told me at 9 o'clock that morning everything is going to be fine, I'd have said there's no way. But he worked it into the network of God's plan. God had the best network before Apple ever came up with it. He says, I tie it all together. God's providence is working. His spirit is working. And he says, okay, I didn't like that. That was an attack from hell. But you know what? I'm going to take that. I'm going to make it part of your fabric. It's what I told you last week, that the only way that we can stay pure is he created us in the secret place. So in order to get fixed, we got knit together in the secret place. It means he tied us all together. So periodically, he continually says, go back to the secret place so that I can get out my knitting needle again and tie it all together. People that never pray are fragmented. They've got things hanging off them. Hasn't been sewed together. They're torn. So God is saying, whatever troubles or afflictions or persecution, God presses them into the service, into his service, and they make a great general working. They're caused to contribute to the good of the person. God says there's nothing that, look what Romans 8 says in the Message Bible. I love it. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, keeps us present before him. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Boy, this will change the way you think. Somebody offends you, you go, I'm going to use that later. Somebody breaks your heart, I'm going to. But a carnal mind, remember what I taught you about carnal, having a carnal spirit? The word carnal is sarx. It means flesh. That's the Greek word, S-A-R-X. It means flesh. And spirit means breath. So, in other words, when you live according to a carnal spirit, you have bad breath. Because flesh is bad. Nothing can glory in your flesh. You know. And so what you got to begin to realize is, when you walk according to carnality, and you don't have this type of mindset, you will walk around bitter and angry. But when there's a transition in your mind that says, and it's what Candace said just a moment ago, that she got delivered, and now Candace will use this to set other people free. The problem with the body of Christ is we don't do deliverance anymore because it's messy, and then you got to deal with real issues. You might have to deal with a couple demons here and there, and you might have to actually get people free. And you can't do that in a 58-minute service on Sunday morning when you really only got them there to have pews and offering buckets, because there's a process. But there's a process to teaching a generation that everything that has happened, God says, don't worry about it. What you went through. Listen, I have things in my childhood that would curl your hair. How in the world 70 rats in 1 month, woke up with a rat on my chest one night? You're going to tell me that can work for the good? Yeah. Because let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it works for the good. Because when I see on TV and they have lab rats and they're killing them, I get excited. No, that's not the reason why. Listen, no. You're going to tell me how that all works together for good? Yeah, it does. Because when I walk through my house at night, I thank him for it. There's not holes in our walls. When I go to get bread out of the cupboard, there's no mold on it. When I pour a box of cereal, there's not a hole in the bottom where rats have eaten through. See, don't tell me. It's changing the very concept of what the way you think. Oh, we're going to be nicer if we think like this. Because it's the old song, don't worry, be happy. You know, that guy committed suicide. Didn't quite work for him. But what you got to understand, and what you got, he really did commit suicide. It's crazy. Don't worry, be happy. I know. It's been, if you're writing letters, send them to Brian Dean at Destiny Prayer Center in Slidell. Here's the deal. I'm trying to show you something. I just want to bring everything they've shared with you to a head. That these God purposed these days, when you were sitting in class last year at high school, he knew you'd be sitting right here. This summer, Aaron, when you were working with my son at a youth camp in the dead of heat in Arizona, day and night, killing yourself, you didn't know that it would lead to sitting right here. So when you first filled out an application and said, I'll work for the summer, you didn't know it would lead to right here. You didn't know it would lead to them late one night when you're cleaning the chapel, playing one of my sermons, and you getting your world messed up. Are you getting this? See, everything works. And we walk around and say, I got to hurry, because I just want you to get this. Paul wrote that we are called according to his purpose, not your purpose, not your plans. What does the word purpose mean? The word purpose, the word there in the Greek is prosthesis, and literally means anything in view of others. In fact, it is the word used for the table of showbread where God put things out in the temple. It means it is here for a reason. Don't touch it. Don't mess it up. If you mess it up, you're not going to please God. In other words, God says, brought to public display for a reason. I found that when I was writing my book, and I'm going, wow, do you understand? God says, when you get through the pain of it, I'll put it on stage, put a mic in your hand, and let you preach it. He said, when you get done dealing with the ticked offness, the anger, the hurt, and the fear, all the hell you walk through, he said, there's going to come a moment when you're sitting down there and somebody hands you a microphone and say, tell us about it. Yesterday, Candace, what happened to you? It was purpose. All the hell you've gone through as a pastor, you're going to stand in front of other pastors and say, been there. My marriage is okay. My kids are healthy. Been there. And I wouldn't let anybody take it from me because it made me better. It made me great. It caused me to begin to understand grace. Oh, I got to go deeper. It's going to get deeper. Karen's going to help me in just a moment. 7 ways that it's on purpose. Number 1, realize that God has a display case called purpose in heaven. Are you with me? Oh, you ain't getting this yet. Have you ever seen those display cases? You walk into, especially older folks. You walk by this curio cabinet. I mean, it's got lights in it and it's got junk in there. And you're like, that is nothing but a bunch of junk. I'll never forget. My grandparents' house got flooded. The year was 1983. They didn't open the floodgates in Hueytown, Alabama. They forgot to open them. So suddenly at 6 a.m., my grandmother, whose house was up on blocks, the water was all the way up and coming into the house. They woke up in time as it was flooding into the house, got out of there. Next thing you know, the whole neighborhood was completely underwater, all the way up to the roof. The next day, we went in by boat, kicked in her front, big, you know, glass window, and there's everything floating in her house, and she's just crying. And there floating was a curio cabinet. It had pictures, had remnants. And I remember thinking to myself, all that junk, because there was mud in the house. I mean, it destroyed the house. It's what a flood does. It doesn't just bring water in it. They had to gut it. I mean, it was destroyed. It's not even there today. But all those years of walking past that curio cabinet, and it was pictures of my mom growing up, my uncle, different things. And when she saw her curio cabinet floating, bobbing up and down, she burst into tears. Because there floating in that water was her trophies. And in heaven, God has trophies. But he's not going to let flood get it. He already promised that. He said, watch what he said. Look what he says right here. In Psalms 58 verse 10, the righteous will call up their friends when they see the wicked get their reward. Serve up their blood in goblets as they toast one another. Everyone cheering. It's worth it to play by the rules. God's handing out trophies and tending the earth. God has a trophy cabinet for those that play by the rules. That's what he says. He says, I have a trophy case in heaven on display. Public display. For a purpose. Isaiah 61. You hear me say it all the time. I share it all the time. We're called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But look what he goes on to say. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That we be called of oaks of righteousness. A planting of the Lord for display. God says, I am raising you up to be when everybody else gets moved by the floods, everyone else gets moved by the water, everyone else gets moved by the wind. But when I point at you, because Paul said, when you've done all you can do, you just stand. He said, you're an oak for me. You are display. When you lift your hands in worship, it's the branches stretching towards the sun. He says, do you understand? You are my display of splendor. You are my beauty in action. Number two, your purpose is proof that God is never caught off guard. We almost act like God gets shocked. I just didn't see that coming. I don't know. I'm sorry you went through it, son. I did not see it coming. I was napping. My Bible says Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. Psalms 33 verse 11. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. It means this. Listen to this verse. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. It means He doesn't shift gears. He doesn't change with the new president. He doesn't change with what we go through. God literally is not moved. I love those guards out in front of Buckingham Palace. They tell you that you can get in front of them, you can wave. When I go to England, when we go to England to do a book signing, we're going to go mess with those guys. I'm going to tickle their nose. And I can't wait because they're not allowed to move. They have to stand there perfectly. But that's the way God is. Little demons running around. He's like, disease spreads to the land. Tsunamis, earthquakes. He is not moved by nature. He is not moved by our whims. He is not moved by our attitudes. You can stand and beat on the ground and beat on the walls all day long, and God says, I am still God, and what I have already planned has already been planned out way before you were born, generations. Before your great-grandfather was born, your great-great-grandmother was born, I already planned your future. Now, don't get in my way. If you'll stay out of my way, we'll do this thing together. Give God a praise. That's incredible stuff. It reminds me of the man in Canada. They walked up to me this summer. He heard Why Is God Mad at You, the sermon. About 90 years old, sitting and weeping uncontrollably. Finally, at the end of the service, one of you guys was with me. I don't remember who was with me when he walked up to me, but little old man, he walks up to me and he says, sir, can I talk to you? I said, sure. I said, I saw you crying down there, man. That was incredible. To see an elderly gentleman crying out to God like that. He said, let me tell you why I was crying. He said, because when I was a little boy, my father went off to war. And I just put this in my book. He said, when I was a little boy, my father went off to war. He had me walk with him to the train station. Now, this is Canada in the snow. Probably in the, I would imagine, World War I. I don't know. I didn't ask him what war it was. It's been 70 years since he was a little boy, so, or 80, 75, 80 years since he was a little boy, so anyway, do the math. Maybe it's World War II, I don't know. But he says he's walking towards the train. His father had him by the hand. He's talking to him, telling him to take care of his mama while he's gone to war, all this stuff. And he goes to get on the train, and he turns around and says, I will be back to see you. But his dad got killed in battle. This is a man in his, he's probably, I don't know, 85, 90. I didn't ask him. He said, but he never came back. He pulled away on that train. It's the last time I ever saw him. And he said, tonight in the altar, God took me back to that moment because I've been mad at God since I was a little boy. He said, God took me back to that moment and showed me walking home in the snow. And he said, and I saw as I was walking, God walked right up beside me and put his arms around me. And he showed me pictures of my life when he's never left me. And he said, so now I can see that there was a plan, purpose. We can't see it right now, but there's a purpose. There's a plan. It's last night calling your mom, Albie, and God, all the stuff that has led to this moment, the divorce, it was a purpose. God says, I hated that divorce. God doesn't hate divorce people. He hates divorce. But he said, but I'm going to bring all that stuff together. But what are you talking about, Pat? Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You have plans, but he has purpose. Big difference. It's living in a place of saying, I know I have plans, but are they following his purpose? It's Isaiah 46:10. I made known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand. And I'm going to do what I please, is what he says. From the east, I summon a bird of the prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. He says, I'll go find somebody nobody's ever seen. In a little town in the middle of nowhere. What I have planned, that I will do. See, you got to understand. Number three, people can reject God's purpose. Luke 7:30, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves. Is that incredible? They rejected God's purpose because they had not been baptized by John. You have to choose to be used by God. 2 Timothy 2:21, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. God says, if you will make up your mind, you can be a part of his purpose. We always preach on the plans of the Lord, the plans of the Lord, the plans. But the plans, a plan is things that God sets into motion. A purpose is something he will accomplish. It's a big difference. When you get the plan of God and it flows into the purpose of God, you live your life in complete. It's like you're standing in concrete. You're not going anywhere. You're so steady. It's what you said. The cross doesn't move. Brilliant. All we got to do is lean on it. I'm almost done right here. Oh, I love this. Pain can be purposed power. What? Pain can be purpose power. It's how you turn your tragedies into triumph. How do we look back at what was meant to destroy us and realize that there's life in it? There is life in the midst of death. It's Samson, the dead lion, but inside of it was a beehive. God was trying to show that which used to roar was big and strong, but inside of it I'll put something that produces purpose because honey brings healing. Are you with me? For years, I've wondered, why do some things happen to some while others seem to live a life free of issues? Why do some have deep pain and others walk through life untouched by hurts and sickness and death and emotional distress? Some people just seem to have it all together. And yet, what we don't understand, there's many processes to that. Choices, lifestyle, all those different things. Gravity. You know, people say, well, I don't know how I fell down and broke my leg. It's called gravity. It's really a part of the way the earth was made. And so we're always trying to look for a spiritual reason, but I don't understand why some people may face more turmoil than others. Maybe it's because we're not willing to go out and get the 60. It's so easy to look at our pain and assume that somewhere along the way God has abandoned us, or maybe he felt we deserved our pain. So the whole teaching I do on the cross, on healing, it's like we love to cover our lack of faith by simply saying, well, God wanted me to go through that. It just doesn't work. It doesn't compute. Psalms 34:18 promises us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We have to realize that our pains and our sufferings have a purpose. If you go through it, we live in a fallen state. We live in a demonic world. If you go through something, God says, okay, if you'll give me just a moment, and instead of harboring it and wearing it around as some cloak of pain, some sign like they did in Bible days when if you were blind, you wore a certain color jacket. If deaf, crippled, you wore certain types of jacket to let the world know who you were. God said, if you quit wearing that cloak, cast it at my feet, trust me, I will take that thing and turn it into a testimony or a trophy of that you overcame what was meant to destroy you. It is that place where you begin to realize this thing is not going to win. God is best at taking what the devil meant for bad and making it better. In all things, he brings it all together, works it together for his purpose. What do you mean? Karen said it best to me when I was writing the book. Without pain in our lives, it is impossible to have compassion for others. Until you've stood in food stamps lines, you're going to make fun of people that do. But I have, and 46 million Americans do. Until you've walked into the house and seen your mother staring into the distance, unable to comprehend where she's even at because of a nervous breakdown, and they take her away and they put the jacket around her and she sits in a rubber room for 2 weeks, you can't have compassion when a kid walks up to you. And you wouldn't believe how many thousands have come up to me when I've told that story and said, that just happened to my family. Romans 5:3-5. There's more to come. Listen. Because pain can be purposed power. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. look what Paul put here in Romans 5. He said, The things you go through, the pain you face, is keeping you alert. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. I love this. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. It is through the pain. It says you ain't got enough bottles, you ain't got enough buckets, that when you walk through pain, if you learn from it correctly, of what God in return pours out in the Holy Spirit to help you understand that pain. It says you ain't even got a big enough boat, you ain't got enough jars, you ain't got enough things pulled together to hold the generosity that God brings when we walk through times of being hemmed in our troubles. That's fire right there to me. It's Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. There it is again. Public display. Psalms 91. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me, I'll answer. I love that. God says, pick up the phone, call me. I will answer. It's not going to voicemail. Be at your side in the bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I love that. God's a partier. He's crazy. I love this. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. See, God's purpose is made known through Jesus. Write that down. I'm about to close here. I just wanted to teach this today. It's 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us, called us to be holy, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Jesus did it. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in us. I skipped over a verse. I got to read to you. I just found this verse. Romans 9:21. Go back to that for me, Aaron, if you can find it. I love this. Does not the potter have the right to? It's way back, right before the seven purposes. Does not the potter have the right to make out the same lump of clay, some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? You know what? Everybody's not called to shake the nations. Some are called to open and close a restaurant every day. So next time you start feeling like you're elitist, and you start feeling like, well, God chose me, didn't choose you. Next time you're looking through your high school yearbook and you go, he did nothing, he didn't do nothing. God says, He makes some pottery for special purposes and some for common use. That's what I tell pastors when I go in. Yeah, your church may always remember the door. They may always remember a certain sermon I preach. But here, that pastor is every week giving them life. It's kind of, I always say it like this, I'm a special meal. I can tell you what I had at certain dinners throughout life. I can remember exactly the way the layout was at Thanksgiving, but I cannot tell you what I had for lunch last week. If I lived only according to special occasions, I would die spiritually. That's why some people only go to church on Christmas and Easter and they die. Because it's the common. It's the everyday stuff. I'm a special purpose. I'm a kicker. I'm not the quarterback of the team. I come in and just special team it. I stand on the sidelines. I don't get hit every week. Brian gets hit every week. I don't get hit every week. but it's my job. I better know how to kick. It drives me crazy when a kicker gets up to kick. Hello, Alabama, against the first LSU game, but we did win the national title. And so it drives me crazy that a guy stands on the sidelines all day long. He never does anything, never gets hit in practice. He gets to go to the corner of the field and kick all day. And when the time comes when we need him, he can't do it. It's the same rule for the evangelist. Don't come in and have a bad Sunday. It's not your job. It is your job to come in and kick it. But I can't win games, and I don't lead the team. Are you with me? Special purposes, common use. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me just move on real quick, because you got to get this. I love this. People with no purpose allow life to crumble. People don't have purpose. I mean, we see it every day. Just go downtown Birmingham. You just see people just walking. Go to New Orleans. Just laying there on the street. When you begin to realize you have a purpose, you cannot handle normal. Normal ticks you off. Normal thinking ticks me off. Shallow thinking ticks me off. I'm sorry. It's because I'm driven for my plan to arrive at His purpose. What do you mean? Look at this scripture right here. It's so powerful. It's one of my favorite. Proverbs 24:30. One day I walked. This is powerful. You could preach this. One day I walked by the field of an old lazy bones. And then passed the vineyard of a lout. A lout is somebody that just is lazy too. They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles. He said this, I passed a field and a vineyard. They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles. All the fences broke down. I took a long look and pondered what I saw, and the fields preached me a sermon. That's when you know you're walking and you're picking up. You've got perception when everything around you is preaching to you. The fields preached me a sermon. I listened. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. I love that verse. That's a sick verse. That is a sick verse. It says you can look forward to having a, hey, we got a visitor, Mom. His name's Poverty. And he's moving in permanently. He's that uncle that will not leave. But see, that's people with no purpose allow life to crumble. Let's see. The next one. God's purpose is made known through Jesus. What do you mean, Pat? Listen closely. God's purpose is made known through Jesus. He has saved us, 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a life, to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. I think I jumped ahead and read that just a moment ago. But Jesus created our purpose. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. It's Hebrews 4. Jesus created our purpose through knowing what purpose felt like. What do you mean? Hebrews 4:13. Now we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to Him. Get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. I love that. It says, when you realize that Jesus had to walk through purpose, He walked through pains, He walked through trials, you can walk right up to Him and say, hey, you got any mercy for me? Because you cannot have mercy if you've not been given mercy. And you cannot have mercy and compassion and all those things unless you've gone through it. So it says Jesus went through it so He could give it to it. Are you with me? I'm going to close it. And number 7. Okay. All right, Pastor. I love it. I love it. I love your teaching on this. This is good. Just simple, basic teaching. It's not a sermon today. But help me understand how at the end, when am I going to understand my dad leaving my mom? Help me understand why I got punched in the face as a child. Help me understand why this, that, or whatever happened. Help me understand why I got raped. Help me understand all those things. I can't. It's not my job. Time acknowledges that you choose the right purpose, that you chose the right purpose. Only at the end of time. It is a process. Why do you want to rush? If you rush a good meal, it ain't going to taste good. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. I've never walked into the kitchen when Karen's cooking a steak and going, give me a bite of it now with blood running out of it. It's just not my thing. It's gross. Nobody wants to eat half-cooked potatoes. You got to wait for it to cook. We got to wait for the process. And you have to trust him enough to know that he's working it out. It's Isaiah 55. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. I'm talking about his word. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God says, you're reading a verse right now. You don't even know why you read that verse. But it doesn't return void. To whom it's applied to is what that means. And then somewhere down the road, you remember that verse. You go, oh, okay. It took time. It takes a process. Psalms 31, verse 15. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. God, you've got my time. Acts 17, 26. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries of their lands. God says, I've already figured out. He lives in yesterday, today, and forever. He's holding your hand right now as you take your first little walk. Don't hit that coffee table. But he's also holding your hand down there at the end of your boundary. Everyone has boundaries except God. And then at the end of your boundary, at the end of your life, when you're down here and you're on your deathbed, and you're taking your last breath, and he's holding your hand, and he's saying, I've been with you from then to now, and I won't leave you, and now I'm going to walk with you into eternity, and I was able to show you that all that back there led up to this right here so that you can walk with me into eternity. God's ultimate goal is get us to heaven. This is a bus stop compared to eternity. What we've gone through is all leading up to the gasoline that fuels the bus to get us to heaven. God says, I'm trying to get you to begin to realize that you're not an oops. You're not an accident. You are anointed. Don't doubt me. All the stuff you've been through. Well, but Pat, my mom and dad, nobody, if I said my name, my parents' name when I was preaching, they'd go, who is that? And God says, I knew that before you said it. And if I didn't want to put you in Billy Graham's house, I would have. Jeremiah 15:11, the Lord said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster and times of distress. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose, there it is, knit us together, put us together for this purpose, is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He said, I've given you my Spirit. I put you together. This is a powerful verse. He said, I put you together for purpose. In fact, to help you get on that journey, I went and put a good deposit in the bank account called the Holy Ghost. And then, by me giving you those things, it guarantees that you're going to get down there. You're going to get to the end of time. I've guaranteed you. Oh, Pat, you sound like you're preaching predestination. I am. If I will do the things of the Lord, he has already planned out my life. I am preaching predestination. Paul said, we are predestined for greatness. He predestined us since the beginning of time. You have to choose. Do you want to walk in his predestination? He's pre-planned a destination for you. You with me? He's already planned it out. But what, Pastor Pat, what about in high school when I made these mistakes, or in college I did this, or I've done, God says, it's on purpose. Okay, you sound like you're okaying my sin. No, I'm not. I'm saying God's not caught off guard. He didn't want you to do that. He didn't want you to make those mistakes. But he is God and can still tie it into, oh, you're going to have scars? Yes. Are you going to have memories? And those are the memories are the scars of the brain. Yes. But he'll take it and say, come back here, Brian. Oh, over here. There we go. Let me put my Spirit in you today. Deposit some more of me in you. That's why you have to have prayer time. So that I can get you to here. But God, I messed up. I live as a failure. I've done so many horrible things. Purpose. Not plan. Purpose. Walk out. Well, Pastor Pat, how does purpose become clear? There's five things, and I'll say them to you, and I'm done. Your purpose will become clear when you worship past your moment. Most of us just worship for what we went through yesterday. But when you get lost in worship, He'll begin to speak your future. That's when He said, worship Me in spirit and truth. That means you got to get honest with God. Got to have the Word. Worship Me in spirit and truth. It means go past the worship service. So that means when you get past all your junk, God, I'm so sorry I had that attitude or that thought today. And after a few minutes of worship, He says, shut your eyes. I'll give you a vision. Because God doesn't keep your purpose secret. He wants you to see the end result. He says, I know the ending from the beginning. So number one, you worship past your moment. How many times do we worship and we're just complaining? Oh God, I've been through hell this week. Just bathe me. Just pour out your spirit. And God says, as soon as you get done with that, I might show you something that'll help you understand why you went through that. Number two, look past your surroundings. You got to be a David, worshiping in the field with no one else out there but the wind and the lambs and the occasional lion and bear, and realize, someday I won't always be worshiping here. That's what I tell teenagers. Hang on. If you can live through the first 17, 18 years, you'll have a chance to make it right. You just got to live past those years. You just got to look past them. So look past your surroundings. Number three, develop a way to fix others. That's when your purpose becomes clear. Develop a way to fix others. Okay. Say a girl gets pregnant at 16, 15 years old, my mom. God tied it into His purpose. Out of that forced marriage came me, came my brother. But there'd be nothing greater than going and finding another little 15-year-old girl sitting on a corner outside an abortion clinic trying to make a decision and saying, I could have done what you did or what you're thinking about doing, but can I show you this website real quick? See those pictures? Had I done that, my family wouldn't have come together. My husband and I wouldn't have got married. And this guy right here, his name's Pat, preaches to the world. So you take the bad and you go back and say, I got to keep somebody else from making an even worse decision. Are you with me? You know when your purpose will become clear? When you can look back at the hell you've been raised in and not be bitter and not be mad. And the only thing that will fix that is grace. God gives you grace to understand what you've been through. When you can walk in and see that person that's hurt you so badly in your family, and you can wrap your arms around and say, I really love you. I'm not mad at you. Purpose. Purpose. And that's it. Purpose becomes clear when you learn a deeper understanding of God's plans. See, I don't know. Pastor Brian said something yesterday. When you are able to thank Him for what you've been through. Isn't that what you said? Basically, something about praise Him for what you've gone through. What did he say? It was something like that. Then, give me another chair up here. Then you'll begin to understand. Yo, my goodness. It wasn't a chance. God didn't like it. Shut your eyes. God wants to get us past our yesterday so we can experience our tomorrow. This whole 2 days is all tied together so that God could show you it's not by chance that you're here. He had a purpose. He had a plan. I guess what makes us different, are we willing to hold on long enough to see the end result of what we went through? The end result wasn't the doctor's report. The end result wasn't the parent meeting when they're getting a divorce. That's not the end result. The end result was not the phone call. The end result comes later. Will you trust him enough? All he asks is, give me your future. But you got to start with your today. And I'll wipe out yesterday. Is there anybody in this group that needs to give God their history so that he can say, now watch what I do with it? Lift your hand right now. You got to give God your history. You got to give God your past. Raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Man, that's all of us, isn't it? There's a moment where you don't live in regret, but you live in authority for where you're going. God says, I want to remove regrets from my children. Learn from it. Yes. It's a scar on your brain. It's a memory. But how freeing is it? I think we get saved, but we don't really get saved. I really believe that. If we confess with our mouth and believe that Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord, if you shout it from the rooftops, he is your Lord and Savior. I think we get saved, but we only give God percentages of our history. Sure, take the stuff that will send me to hell, but I'm not giving you my memories because they are my crutch, and I don't want wings. I'd rather have crutches. And God says, today, I want to restore your wings. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. So with your eyes shut, across this room, if you're ready to give God your history to grab his purpose, and if you're ready to never look over your shoulder again feeling filthy, stand up. Because he's about to restore what was robbed. You don't ever want to look over your shoulder again feeling guilty or filthy or dirty. But instead, when you look back, you're not going to see your history. You're going to see his face. Because he's in front of you, behind you, over you, under you. He has wrapped you in his arms. And God says, today, I want to restore everything that was robbed. Lift your hands across this room and say, God, what I'm not proud of, you can turn into purpose. I know you've forgiven me, but now, help me forgive me. Here he comes. Here comes the Holy Ghost. He's about to walk you through your brain, and you're about to see him start defining everything and bringing it together in a fabric of the very wool of who you are. You are his blanket of love for a generation. Say, knit me together, God. Bring it all together. Tell him that. Say, bring it all together. Bring it all together so I can change lives. Bring it all together. Say, Lord, I give you my history to get to my purpose. I will be your trophy, your display. Now here's what I want you to do. Those of you, you're all called into ministry. Put one hand down and keep one up. You put one hand up. I want you to do something. Stretch your right hand out in front of you. Eyes are shut. And God is about. Now turn it. Like you're picking up a cup, like you've got a cup in your hand. Open it up. And God is handing you. I want you to reach out. Here it comes. What is that? Here comes the microphone. He wants to hand you the microphone. Reach out and grip it. Don't pull back. Grip it. Grip the microphone. Hold it up to your mouth. Now start preaching. I want to hear you preach. Out loud. Let's go. Start preaching. Start preaching. Can you do it? Can you do it? Come here, Rachel. Come here, Rachel. Can you do it? Can you preach it? Here, preach. You will preach. Hold the mic up to your mouth. Preach it. Tell God. Tell the world that God can restore anything. Go ahead.
God can restore anything?
Okay, come on. I'm standing here. I'm a little girl. I'm 14 years old. I am lost. I feel so dirty from last Friday night. And it happened in my basement. A boy came over. My parents just kind of left us alone. Why'd they leave me alone down there with him? God, preach to me, girl. Tell me I'm going to make it.
You're going to make it? It was all on purpose? You're going to have a purpose that one day you're going to be able to tell people how God restored you, how God was there for you, that no matter where you were, that He was standing right beside you. He even heard you cry. You're not dirty. You're not dirty. Don't kill yourself. Don't cut yourself. God can fix you. God can use you.
Welcome to purpose.
Tell me if my dad leaves last week. I'm going to get up here and tell me. Preach to me, man, with fire. Tell me what it's like when dad don't call. Because my dad promised he'd call. I'm 13 years old, and nobody cheered for me in my game.
Just because your physical father left you doesn't mean that your heavenly father has left you. That He is desperate for you and that He watches over you. That He covers you in prayer. He covers you. He covers you with His love and He sings songs over you and He dances over you. He rejoices over you and He cheers for you. You're not an orphan. You're not forgotten. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. That the Lord is for you and that He watches over you. That you're gorgeous. That you're beautiful. That you're brilliant. That you're smart. You're intelligent. And God has created your mind for His destiny, for His reason, for His purpose.
Come here and take the mic. I need you. He's handing it to you. Tell me I'm chosen, because I am an 11-year-old little girl who simply feels like nobody likes me at school. I just want somebody to say hi to me. Tell me, preach. I want to hear you preach. Public display of His splendor. Public display of His splendor. You are an oak. Tell me, preach to me.
When you sit there all by yourself and you think that nobody loves you, God is sitting right beside you and He's saying that you are the chosen one, that you are the one that's gonna go out and tell my daughters how much that I love them. God is saying that you are the one who is gonna change this world.
But I don't like my mirror. Tell me about the mirror.
God is saying that the reflection that you see is not what He sees, and that what you see is not what other people see.
Preach to me, man. Tell me what I need to hear. I'm 14 years old. I'm sitting there, and I've never felt God. Tell me. Preach. I want to hear you. Did I have the school? You're not called to preach.
I know a person who can love you and feel you like no one ever felt you before. God will pour out His Spirit upon you. God will, when no one else is there and you feel like no one else loves you, I know someone who will reach out and touch you and fill your heart and fill that void that you're filling. And God will reach down and He can change your perspective on everything.
Tell me not to be scared when I go to bed at night. I'm 14 years old. I'm a boy and I can't even turn my light off.
You don't have to be scared because God is sitting right beside you. He's holding your hand no matter where you go, no matter where you're at. He's right there beside you and say, I love you. I love you, son.
Come on. The mic is yours. I want you to preach to me, girl. Tell me why you're here. Tell me why you're here. Tell me how God will raise somebody up that shouldn't be raised up. Tell me. Preach.
God will raise you up no matter what your past is. He will be with you every step of the way to make you stronger, to use you because of what you went through. It doesn't matter what you went through. He loves you. You're pure. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous.
But I'm so angry. angry because I didn't get chances that other people got. Tell me how to create chances. Preach to me.
If you ask God to show you what you're supposed to do, He will show you. Give your all to God. You have a purpose. You have all the chances anyone else has if it's your will.
I'm about to quit the ministry. Tell me not to quit the ministry. Tell me it's worth it. Please tell me it's worth it. Preach to me, Pastor.
When you don't know what to do, and you don't know where to look, and you don't know what to say, and you've cried out your last tear, and you lay back, and you lay back, and the tears begin to roll in your ears, and you say, God, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Is that moment that you fall on your knees and you say, God, replenish the fire on the inside. God, poke my fire again and cause it to burn. And when in that moment where you begin to cry out, God begins to say, I created you before the foundations of the earth. I knew what I was doing. When everybody said, you cannot afford to quit. You cannot afford to step aside. There are people who are waiting for you to say what they need to hear to point them in the right direction. You cannot become quiet in the midst of the noise.
My mom is high every day. She didn't show up when I asked her to show up. She forgot my birthday. Tell me not to quit. Tell me, preach to me. Preach to me. Preach to me. I got to hear it from you. I'm 14 years old, and my mom forgot my birthday.
It doesn't matter. Though your mother and father may forsake you, there is a God that will sit closer than a brother. It doesn't matter if your parents quit on you. God has never quit on you. He will never quit on you. It doesn't matter. Don't put your expectation on people anymore. Put your expectation on God, because God is the only one who will never fail you. If you put your hope in Him, if you put your trust in Him, He will pour His grace and mercy on you. He will wrap His arms around you. He will make you feel loved unlike any love. Unlike any high, unlike any drug, He will make you feel loved. You don't have to look for acceptance from a parent. You don't have to look for acceptance from a mom or from a dad, because they will fail you sometimes, but they're only human.
Come on. I'm a 16-year-old girl that life is okay. But nobody's ever told me I could change the world. Tell me. Tell me I could change the world.
God has so much more for you than you ever could imagine. You have been raised up for a time to have a voice to be heard. Everything that you've gone through, it's not your fault, but you can use it for God's glory. Everything that you've gone through has been for His purpose, to show you that you can have compassion, that you can have love, that you can have purpose in your life, that you can overcome anything, that the devil cannot beat you down, he cannot destroy you, that you have everything inside of you. You are brilliant. You are amazing. Don't let anyone tell you that you are stupid. God loves you. He has placed inside of you a brilliant mind, that you have a voice that needs to be heard, that the things that you have, the calling that is on your life, cannot be stripped away by people, what people say about you, what they see in you, what they say about you and what they see about you is not what God says. It's not what He sees when He looks at you in the mirror. It's not what He says about you when He watches you. He says that you are brilliant, that you are amazing, that you have a voice, that you have the power inside of you through Him to do anything that He has called you and asked you to do.
TC, I've been in trouble with the law. I'm 17 years old. And I'm just going to end up in a ditch somewhere. Tell me how not to. Preach to me, man. Preach to me. I want to hear preach.
I'm here to tell you that God loves you and that you are not a failure. And just because you ended up in jail, just because you were in the hole, God wants to see you do great things. God wants to launch you into your destiny. There is great things. You are a nation changer. You are a spell breaker. And God is going to take you to new levels. God wants to see you do great things. There is no devil in hell that could come against you. There is no demon, because you are a nation breaker. You will save nations. You will change the world. You are God's child, and you are going to do great things for this world.
I'm 14 and I want to lead worship someday, but nobody believes in me.
Nobody can tell you who to be. Only God can tell you who to be. And no matter what your dreams are, they can come true, because the God you serve is so much greater than anyone could ever tell you. The God you serve can move the mountains, and the God you serve can part the sea, and the God you serve can change a man into a champion, can change a boy into a champion, and change a boy into a conqueror of a giant. And he can change you, and he can change your dreams and everything that you have. Your voice is pleasing to God, because what is pleasing to the world is not what's pleasing to God. So if the world tells you that your voice is bad, or that your voice is ugly, God tells you that you're gifted. Your confidence and your joy comes from the Lord. That every time you sing, it brings pleasure to His heart. Every time you sing to Him, it brings joy to His heart.
Come on. I'm 13 and my dad died. Tell me how to wake up tomorrow. Tell me how to wake up. Tell me how to wake up. Because I don't want to wake up. Because I go by his room and he's not there.
Just because your dad died, God did not abandon you. He didn't leave you. He's been right there every moment that you cry, every moment that you wanted to give up. The pain inside of you is not too great. God has taken the pain already. You don't have to cut yourself. You don't have to give up, because God has given you a plan and a purpose that He is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Even if everyone else leaves, He's still right there beside you, holding your hand, because He is where your home, He is where you are fulfilled. He makes you secure. He makes you complete.
Purpose!
Public display.
My family's not in the ministry. They don't even understand what I'm doing. I'm 17 and I feel the call. Preach to me, man. Preach to me. Tell me not to ignore the call. Go.
You might not understand what God wants you to do at the time, but you feel that call on your life. You feel that tugging in your heart to go further. You feel a purpose, and you just want to cry out every single night until you figure out. You're saying, God, what do you want with my life? And you'll do anything to seek after it. I'm telling you that there's a moment that's going to come in your life where you feel the presence of God in a way that you've never felt before, a way that gives you a purpose, a way that gives you a hope for a future. There's going to be a day where you're going to set captives free. There's going to be a day where your life is coming, everything in your life is coming up against you, and you don't feel like going any farther. But God is telling you to keep pushing forward, to keep pressing on towards the goal, to keep doing what I've called you to do. And there's going to be a day when you're going to see, when you keep pressing forward, that those people are going to reap the benefits of what you did in the secret places, that what you did in the tough times is going to come to benefit. When you see the captives set free, when you see cities changed, when you see everything that has happened, miracles and signs and wonders, you're going to realize it was worth it.
My parents are getting a divorce. And I lived in a house that was volatile. But I'm 16. Is there more? Preach to me. Preach to me right now. Preach to me. You can do this. I want to hear you preach.
Regardless of the hell that has broken loose in your family, regardless when your dad comes home drunk because he's sad that your mom left him, regardless if your parents go to jail because they're a domestic altercation, regardless if you're broken, regardless if you have arguments about God, regardless if everything in your life feels like and God likes you. Because regardless of all the hell that's broken loose in your family, and you're in your room and you're crying out to him for a purpose, he will bring it, and he will never let go of you. He will always be there. He will continuously grip your hands. He will continuously look in your face and call you his daughter and say that you are more than what you think you are. You are more than what has been in front of you. And because regardless of the family that has been picked for you than what you've been in, you are called to do more and more.
Tell me I'm anointed, because I don't believe I'm anointed. Tell me I'm anointed.
You are anointed for the call that God has put on your life. I don't care who walks out on you. I don't care any of the things you've done in your past. You are anointed for the call that's on your life. You are a man. You are a man that is called by God. You are a man that has purpose on his life. There are people and there are churches, there are nations that need you to speak to them about Jesus. And God has put that calling on your life. He's put that anointing on your life. Nobody else can fill your shoes. Nobody else can fit the mold that God has put for you. You are called. You are anointed.
I'm a preacher's kid that hates the ministry because my parents have been abused. Tell me it's okay. Preach to me, man.
It does not matter what your family has been through. It doesn't matter the hell that they fought, the demons that have attacked your family. You are called. You have a purpose on your life. You can learn, and God is going to be with you. You have an anointing, and there is a purpose. There is a favor on your life to touch lives. You are going to touch thousands. There's a generation blessing. It doesn't matter that the attacks that has come upon you. God is going to raise you up to touch lives, to touch souls.
Thank God for what my parents went through.
It doesn't matter what they have been through. That God has a purpose for you, and you can praise God because that is alignment for what his purpose is for your life. You have a destiny upon your life, and you had to go through that so you can reach your purpose, so you can impact lives.
Tell me he'll use nobody. Tell me that he can use nobody's.
It don't matter where you've been in life. It don't matter what you've been through. It don't matter what you've been through or where you've been or who protected you and who left you. It don't matter because God never leaves you. It don't matter if you look like nobody, if nobody else liked you in school or what you went through. God can use the nobodies.
With one command.
With one command.
God can take the common.
God can take the common.
And make them a conqueror.
And make them a conqueror.
God has chosen you.
God has chosen you.
Rise up with holy fire.
Rise up with holy fire.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
Be the voice.
Be the voice.
Walk in authority.
Walk in authority.
Change a generation.
Change a generation.
Tell me even when others don't believe. I'm 17. It just seems like nobody believes. Tell me.
God will always, always believe in you. Even when everyone else turns their back on you, even when your pastors will turn their back on you and tell you that you're not called, even when your family will turn and say that you are not called to speak to a generation, you are called because you listen to the voice of your Father, your Heavenly Father. You are a chosen son. God does not make mistakes. He does not make accidents. He does not cause the people that are not called to do what they are called to do. He calls them. He equips them. He builds them up in His faith. And I just want to speak to you and say that you are called to touch a generation. You are called to speak to the people that no one else wants to speak to. You are called to equip a generation that everyone else has left to the back, has turned away from, has turned their face from. You are meant to speak up, to build up. Do not compare yourself to anyone else, because you are not to be anyone else. God has called you to be you. And that is when you will find your freedom. That is when you will find your anointing to be who God has called you to be.
Tell me God can use me. Tell me I'm gifted. Tell me I'm anointed. Tell me to walk in my anointing. Preach to me, man.
You're an anointed man. You need to walk in your own anointing, because God has anointed you. He hasn't given you anybody else's anointing. He's given you your own anointing. You are to walk in your own anointing that God has given you. You have a purpose that only you can fulfill through God, because God has people out there that only you can touch, that only you can speak to, because you have to fulfill your purpose through God.
Aaron, I'm 14 years old. Whole world's left me. The only way I'm going to get somewhere is if I do it. Tell me who's with me.
Preach to me, man. I want to hear preach come out of your voice.
I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what's going on in your life. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is nothing in this world that could ever take him away from you. There is nothing that can take his love away from you. No matter what your past, no matter your present, no matter what you think you've done, no matter if you've hung your vessel up on the shelf. Even if you are broke, He can still use you. He can still mend you. You are not worthless. You will not be thrown away. He's going to take you. He's going to reform you. And He's going to send you out. You're not worthless. You have a purpose. You're here for a reason.
I believe there's someone that needs to come take the stage. Tell me, even though ones you believed in have let you down, tell me I'm anointed. I'm a 16-year-old girl that's looking at you saying, tell me God can use me. Go. Purpose! You tell me who I am.
You are so beloved by God that He would give up everything and He'd do it all over again just for you. That's how important you are. And though everybody else makes you feel like you don't count, like you cannot be great, like you don't have a voice, like you can't do anything, like your life is already planned out for you, He wants more. You are worth more. You can dream big. You can do big things. You can do anything. The only person that can hold you back is yourself. So don't allow the enemy to speak to you negatively, to tear you down, because you are a conqueror. You have dominion and authority. You can speak to those things.
My family doesn't follow me.
Your family are those that seek God. Your family are those that seek the will of God. And though your family does not back you up, you go full forth, because as soon as you look back and when you reach those gates, you're going to see them standing behind you, because that is the promise that He has promised us. He says that those that seek Him, that the generations that follow, those that are linked to Him, they will be blessed, that they will receive the blessing of heaven, that they will walk into eternity with you. But getting them there is not your task. It is not your job to get them there. Your job is to stay focused on who He's called you to.
Aaron.
Purpose.
Tell me what it's like when my dad don't return my phone calls, and yet I feel called.
Preach to me right now. Purpose.
Even though your earthly father may not care about you, let me tell you something. There's a heavenly father who loves you so much. You don't have to be something in order to be his son. You are already qualified as a son of God, as someone that he loves, that he believes in. He is molding you, and he believes in you. He cheers you on whenever you're at the baseball games and your dad's not there. God's there, and he says, that's my son. He is a champion. He is called to greatness. Come on, Jamie. Come on, daughter. What if I feel God calling me to a distant land and my family doesn't understand? I'm 17 years old, and even at home, I know I'm going to face stuff. They're going to call. They're not going to believe. They're going to dog me. And when I go home, I'm not even going to feel like I fit in anymore. Preach to me, please.
Even though your family doesn't believe in you, you have to believe in yourself. There's nothing that they can say. There's nothing that they can do. There's nothing that they can weigh on you that will... He loves you. He doesn't just like you. He loves you for everything that he's created you to be. There's nothing that anybody can say about you that will determine who you are and who your purpose to be. The plan that he has called you to and the destiny that you have to fulfill, the people that you have called to be reached, and he just wants to consume you. He wants to take everything. You are brilliant. You have the mind that he has given you. He has created you with purpose, and he has given you ideas to run with and to touch nations and creativity that nobody else has. And he will put inside of you God-inspired ideas to touch people's lives like never before.
And lastly,
please tell me. Just take it. Tell me God can heal me. Because I don't feel like it right now, 14 years old, because something happened. Tell me. Preach to me for a moment. You can do it.
Someone may have robbed you of your purity, but no one can ever rob you of God's. He can restore the distorted definition of love that you've been given. You have boldness. You have an authority. You have a voice. You matter. You don't have to live in fear. Your past doesn't have to haunt you. You don't have to have nightmares. It was for a purpose that everything has happened to you. It wasn't your fault. You don't deserve it.
But God will use it. But God will use it. Candace, tell him. God will use it.
God will use it.
To let you know.
To let you know.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Raised in ministry, and I don't even know how God could use me. Would you please preach to me and tell me that I can start a new generation of life for my daughter?
It doesn't matter your past or how you were raised or what happened to you, but God can take anybody, a nobody, and use them for his good, for his purpose, for his plans, for your destiny. He can raise you up no matter what you think about yourself, that you are worthy. You do have a voice.
Tell me, put a message in the heart. Tell me there's a message in your heart.
There is a message in your heart. There is the word of God in you. You can preach. You can deliver people. And he does have a plan for you, no matter what the enemy tells you. And your children shall be called blessed, and they are destined for greatness.
Josh, tell me not to quit youth ministry in a generation that's been abandoned. Tell me not to leave these kids. I'm a youth pastor that's tired, and it doesn't seem like I'm making a difference. I got a resignation written out on my desk, and please tell me it'll be worth it.
Preach to me.
For God would say that the moment that you feel like you're not accomplishing anything, that you are accomplishing the most, because it's just like the enemy to snake his way into your destiny and snake his way into your dreams and to begin to lie to you. And it's nothing but a lie from the pits of hell to try to rob you of the greatness that God has called you to. For there is a purpose and a plan in every situation and in every circumstance, and God has not quit on you, and you can't quit on yourself. There is a voice within you that God is ready to unlock. And there is a greatness that hasn't been touched yet. Heaven will be the place that tells the lives that you've touched, because you are leaving a legacy behind. You are a history maker. You're not someone that's going to be changed by your history, but you are going to change history with each and every person that you touch and each and every life that you begin to touch. Not for your glory, but for His.
Darius, come tell me I'm anointed. Come tell me I'm anointed. Come tell me I can change the world. Please preach to me.
It doesn't matter what you've seen in your life. It doesn't matter who said what anyone said about you, or the circumstance that you were born in, or the things that you walked through. God predestined you before you were born. When you were in your mother's womb, He anointed you and He called you to change the world, to loose the oppression of the enemy, to set the captives free, to declare healing to the sick. You are brilliant. You are smart. You are innovative. You are creative. God doesn't create stupid. He created you in His image and His likeness. So you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of your Creator. And so there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you won't do, as long as God is on the inside of you.
Chris, Tell me. I'm sitting out there. I'm a 15-year-old boy. And every time I try to fit in, it doesn't work. Tell me what I'm supposed to be.
Preach to me. Preach in that voice.
You are loved. God wants you. Even when you don't think it, even though when you don't feel accepted, you are accepted. You're called. People around you see you as a leader inside of you. They see that cultivation inside of you, even though you don't even see it. He wants to build that up inside you, in your mind, to where you are exposed. That He wants to put you on that platform. He wants you to put you on that stage. He wants you to gird you up to lead a nation, to lead a generation, to change a culture. He put that stuff inside you to break the very things of this world, and then make it different, make it new, make it refresh, make it current, make it flow.
Well, come on. Stand right there. See, you're anointed to walk with others. Tell the young lady that's sitting out there that's 14 to hold on.
That you can make it, that it doesn't matter what people say about you, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've gone through, it doesn't matter what circumstances you're in or anything that you've been through, but it matters that the call that God has for you is just cultivating within you, that the call that God has for you is bigger than what people say about you, what your friends say, that your friends may leave you, that your family may leave you, but the call of God that is resonating within your heart is just something that will take over your entire being and push you to more than you could ever see yourself doing, that can push you to a boldness that you never thought you had, that can put a mic in your hand and say that your testimony is more than you could ever think of, that it will touch lives, that it will touch people more than you could ever know.
Somebody say, it's on purpose. Everything you've gone through came to this moment. And the devil just lost. Because it was on purpose. So instead of looking back with regret, look forward with authority, because it's on purpose.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this word will sit in your spirit and transform you. For more information or to become a covenant partner of Mercy Seat Ministries and Evangelist Pat and Karen Schatzlein, you can log on to www.mercyseatministries.com.